Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I feel like I just got hit by a fucking bus.
It's what you did for stalking.
No, I mean, truly. I just feel like you should stay out of the streets. The mean streets of Manhattan is nothing to joke about.
No, never back up into a street, I think, is probably like the headline. Don't do it. It's a bad idea. You'll probably get hit by a bus.
Probably. Likelihood is very high.
Yeah.
Especially in New York, because the thing is that, like, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch, but I worked in the city for nearly 10 years. I cross the streets all the time. My theory was if they hit me, they hit me. Like, I'm going. Now, I'm like, not look when I was crossing the street.
Well, you certainly didn't back up into the street either.
No, I never went. I never walked backwards in Manhattan. There's so many fucking idiots walking the city because, like, literally they have their heads in the skies. I'm just like, fucking move forward, you idiot whores. I'm going to say that this is like 80% Todd Mulcahy's fault.
Oh, this is like 100% Todd Mulcahy's fault. Like, this guy has the most unearned confidence that I've like pretty much ever seen on a character. And we'll obviously get into it. These two episodes, if you're not sure what we're talking about, we watched two episodes, 13 and 14, Todd Mulcahy part 1 and 2. These two episodes were fucking insanity. And like, we have now hit the point where Felicity is like making fun of itself, which I appreciate, because when we started the show, I was like, Felicity is a full-on stalker. Like, why is she our main character?
Yeah.
But now we're to the point where we're like, you know, it's a bit meta. She knows that she stalked Ben, and so she's willing to admit it. And I like that about this show. I like that it was willing to be like, yes, Felicity, our main character, was also a stalker, but she has learned the error of her ways, and karma is a big old bitch.
Yeah.
And in the form of Todd Mulcahy.
She's repenting for her sins, and she knows it. She's on the apology train. She asked for forgiveness, but it's not all about Todd Mulcahy. Even though he does rule the world, we have a lot of other storylines in these two episodes that I felt like we're really interesting, or kind of almost interesting. Namely the Julie storyline, which Obviously, we were very excited to see Julie take this internship. And I am disappointed to see that it's ended so quickly, but I don't think that this is like a period in the sentence for this storyline.
No, certainly not. So for those of you who are here weekly, we're going to take these ones a little differently. We usually just go like chronological through the episode, but there's like so much to get into and we don't want to be here for 3 hours. You don't want to be here for 3 hours.
No, today's the Super Bowl.
Are you gonna watch football?
Are you gonna have soup on the Super Bowl?
No.
Okay.
I'm not really
you
a
heard
soup person.
It here first, folks. Yeah. No soup.
But yeah, so we have a lot to talk about. So we're gonna kind of take it like storyline by storyline. And yeah, let's start with Julie because I feel like I got a little duped, Sarah. Like I had said, I had a little bit of apprehension when Julie says this rando on the internet just says that this lady's my mom. And I was like, how are you trusting this rando on the internet? Like, what are his credentials? What, you know, what proof does he have? And then I saw Julie's mom and they did such a good job with casting that I was like, oh, okay, that does look like Julie. Like, sure, great. And so they did dupe me a little bit with, you know, the visual of it all. However, it's not exactly, I'm not being like blown over with this storyline of, yeah, it turns out this woman is not Julie's mother like she thought.
Yeah. So I guess what we find out is that you can't believe everything that you read or hire on the internet, including right. PI credentials.
Right.
I don't know. Like, let's not bury the lead. Like, are you confident that Caroline is not Julie's mom?
I feel like yes. I think that her reaction to all of, you know, to the tape that Julie sends her and the conversation that she has with Julie, she seemed very sincere. I mean, I guess also for the show, like, how do you turn this back around to then be like, actually, it is her mom, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like I would have a hard time believing her.
But you'd be like, DNA test right now.
I mean, kind of, because I feel like, you know, maybe she's like she has a family, she has children, she's established in her career. Like, it's not impossible for me to think that a woman that gave up a pregnancy is denying it 18 years later. But
yeah.
Also, I did not talk about the biggest news in news history.
Biggest news in news history?
Yeah. So in the last episode in Friends, when Julie is recording the note to, is her name Caroline or Carol? Caroline.
Good question.
Well,
who cares really? It doesn't
Caroline.
Matter, probably.
I'll call her Caroline.
I think it is Carol, but I'll look and I'll let you
okay.
know. It is Carol.
Julie announced to Carol that her birthday was March 8th. Now, this is important to me because my birthday is March 9th.
Right.
Which means that our good gal, Julie, is a Pisces queen.
And I think this tracks for me. Does this track for you as well?
Yeah, the like artistic side of it. She seems like pretty sensitive. She seems like a people pleaser.
Very caring.
Obviously, she was putting Felicity's feelings first before she initiated anything with Ben eventually. And I also think that like the vagueness makes sense as well because like she wasn't the thing that like Julie needs to work on is like articulating and communicating when she has strong feelings about something.
Yeah,
like she should have just said to Felicity, fuck off, like this is none of your business, I like Ben and you've never gotten with Ben, just like leave me alone, or like at least say like I really want to pursue things, or I don't know, just even like spoken up about anything. And she did not. So yeah, like I do think that she is a Pisces queen. Like I will happily accept her into my clan with Dawson Leary. Mm-hmm. And her, I forget when Dawson's birthday was, but I definitely think that his birthday was in March as well.
I do not remember, but I'll trust you on that.
I'm pretty confident he was a Pisces king.
Dawson
Leary's birthday. And not the Sweet 16 birthday. Yeah, he was born on March 14th.
There you go.
So, yeah, I will accept all these people into my clan, into the whiny baby clan. Mm-hmm. Come to me, my children.
Yeah. And so, like, poor Julie, right? Like, she ends up, like, applying for this, like, internship job thing, and she gets it. And then and she's always like, oh, I should tell her. I should send the tape or whatever that I recorded for her. However, I just want to get to know her like a little bit first. It feels very like she's like, well, if I get to know her first and then I send it to her, she can't be like, this girl's a weirdo because she knows me.
I feel like it tracks, but also it's just such a bad idea. But
yeah.
Also, I get it.
Yeah, and it's even worse when, like, you know, Carol seems really kind, and she is, we talk about this a lot, I don't know why, there's always architects on television and all of this stuff, we talked about it last podcast, but Carol seems like a really nice person in that she will have lunch with Julie, who is, like, the newest employee, you know, like, she doesn't need to do that, and she has, like, multiple conversations with Julie about her interests and all of that, and so they do seem to be connecting. And so you think this is going to be like a happily ever after story, right? And Julie finally sends the tape to her. She tries to get it back, but she can't. And it turns out, yeah, Carol says, I'm so sorry. I'm not your mother.
Yeah. I think it makes it harder, the fact that Carol was a nice person and a good person, even somebody that had been working there for a while. I think her name was like Tina. Even Tina really liked her. And okay, I know I've said that all architects are miserable, horrible human beings. Mm-hmm. And it's not true, but Carol seems like a really nice person. And I think that it makes it harder for Julie to accept that, especially because of the common interest. And also the fact that this woman has a family already. She has two children that she loves. She has a husband. I think, like, there was a world where Julie was seeing herself fit into this equation.
Yeah.
And I think it's, like, really hard to let that fantasy go. And I think that when she talks to Carol and she's like, it wasn't me. Like, I never had a baby. I never had a baby that I put up for adoption, that is. Like, you see, like, Julie go through, like, the different stages of, like, grief. Like, she has, like, the denial stage. Like, no, like, we have so much in common. Like, you play guitar and I could play guitar. And, like, the face that she makes when she realizes how, like, small that is on the grand scheme of things, when, like, and how silly she kind of felt in that moment, where that was, like, her big evidence. It was, like, a little heartbreaking because, like, she wanted it so bad.
Yeah. And this is why I do think that, like, this is the honest truth and we're not going to get a, like, gotcha moment later, because Carol says, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, I wish I could help you. I'm not your mother, but, like, good luck. Like, I really hope you find her. All of this seemed so genuine from Carol. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like someone who is trying to hide something. And like you said, like, yes, she does have reasons for, like, if she did want to hide it, right? She has a family, she has a career, she has all these other things, but it didn't seem like that from Carol. But I just ended up feeling so bad for Julie because, you know, I was worried this something like this would happen if you, like, just find some random PI online and they don't give you any evidence as to why this woman is your mother. And we have, like, Ben trying to, like, mediate, you know, kind of tamper her expectations a little bit, but he is really at a loss for, like, how to help her as well. And he's going through his own thing. So it really is, it's tough for Julie. And this certainly isn't the end of this storyline, obviously, but I want to know, maybe we should get our guesses in. How long do we think until Julie actually finds her birth mother?
maybe season two. Like, I don't think that this is going to be resolved this season.
I was going to say, I think it could be like a season finale sort of thing where it's like she sees her birth mother from afar in the season finale, but she doesn't actually interact with her.
Yeah. How are you feeling towards Ben during this whole situation? Because, like, obviously I felt like really frustrated with him throughout it, because even though he's trying to like tamper expectations and soften the blow, I think that, like, once again, me and my queen, Julie Pisces, like, I think that, like, it feels, it's kind of reminds me of something that, like, maybe you would do for me and I would have resistance towards it, because I want to be, and Julie wanted to be, living in our fantasies of, like, this is all going to work out. This is totally my mom. Like, everything is going to be okay. I'm so excited. And, like, somebody like you or Ben are saying, like, look, like, as a person that I love you and I care for you, like, I don't want you to be, like, hurt by all of this.
Yeah, I think beyond the first slip up that Ben has, I think he did a pretty good job. Like, the first slip up being he sees that she's applying for the job and he, like, gets on her case about, like, this is a terrible idea, and he's going through his own, and he like immediately senses, like, wow, that was not great what I just did. I need to go fix things with Julie. And he says, like, I'm going through some stuff with my dad. Like, he cut me off. I'm really stressed, and my own relationship with my father shouldn't impact, like, you know, what's going on with you and your family. But overall, I thought he did a decent job. Like, I thought Ben had a pretty good two episodes, given that he starts out, like, kind of getting on Julie's case and really in a financial peril, essentially. Yeah. But he does work things out, and I really like, we now get, so not only does Felicity work at Dean and DeLuca, but now Ben has a job at Dean and DeLuca, and his interaction with Javier, which we have to apologize and say that Javier should have been in the rankings last episode. Mm-hmm. We deeply apologize. He will be in them.
Yeah, I think that Javier would have made my, like, number two position.
Oh, 1,000%.
If I had remembered him. But it was so funny. So yeah, we see for Ben, his dad cut him off, which I don't really understand why.
It just seems, I mean, I think it's basically, the answer is, like, his dad's an asshole. They probably got in an argument over something, and his dad was like, that's it, you're done. Mm-hmm. And unlike a lot of the other characters, Ben lives in an apartment. He does not live in the dorms. And so you're paying month-to-month rent, which is probably cheaper overall than dorms are. But dorms, you're getting financial aid or student loans to help pay for. So he needs money pronto.
Right. Because he talked to what's his face?
Sean.
And Sean owns this property.
Yeah, this is so fascinating to me that I guess I always assumed Sean was like a college student, but it seems like he owns the building they live in. And the reason he's able to kind of, like, pay for it is because he has subletters, you know, they have roommates, which I guess after the robbery situation, the other two moved out.
Which is probably a good idea. You know what I think? Like, I'm now thinking that Sean is, like, 28 years old.
Oh, wow. That's a lot older.
Yeah. No, I'm, like, feeling like he is. But anyway.
He could be.
So he's, like, a decent guy, because he's like, you know what? Like, you can go, like, a month without paying rent and I'll cover you. It's okay. Or, like, you can be late. And then Ben promises to get on top of it and get a job. He asks Felicity if he can get a job at Dean DeLuca. And she sets up a interview with Javier.
And this, like, is Javier's wet dream. And reason is because, listen, we all know he hired Felicity because Felicity is the drama, right? She brings the drama. And can you imagine Felicity approaching Javier and, like, this whole conversation and her being like, I have someone I want to, like, refer in. It actually is the guy that I stalked, like, when I first got here, and he needs a job, and he's actually, like, really good looking. And Javier is like, that's all I need to hear. He's hired. I don't care. I don't care if he worked at a, you know, I don't care where he worked previously. He could never have any job experience. He's hired.
But my favorite part of these two episodes, I think, was when what's his face, when Ben was like, so do I have the job? And Javier's like, No, I'm sorry. And Ben's like, really? He's like, no, I'm kidding. I love you, of course. And it was like so funny. He's like, I love you. Of course you have the job.
Yeah, I just love Javier. Like, he's the worst boss. For like so many reasons.
Is he though? I don't know. Like, well, but
we talked about this though. He is that boss from when we were teenagers who's like friends with all the teenagers and a little bit too close to them, a little bit too involved in their drama.
Yeah.
Like
Pauline Bologna, I'm looking at you. Yeah.
Yeah. I love him giving Ben a hard time about Ben not wearing the hat, which is part of the uniform. And Ben, just like, get over yourself. I'm sorry. This was the thing from Ben that annoyed me the most these two episodes, was the fact that he like would not just wear his hat.
I know this guy. Like, I know, like,
oh, we once all again, know from this guy.
They just don't wear all the uniform, and the manager that's a little too close to him and is like, please put on the uniform. And then they laugh about it because they know that they're not going to do it. I know this guy. So the fact that like Javier was like asking Ben for fitness advice, and like Ben was like a little too honest, but Javier loved it. I think it's going to be a very funny dynamic to see Ben at Dean and DeLuca, because you know that's going to cause issues in the future, especially with Noel, because Noel's such a jealous boy, and it's going to drive him crazy. Like, Noel already asked about it and he's bothered by it, but also they also are starting to form like a little bit of a bromance that's like so suspicious. But because Noel comes to Ben's work and asks how was Felicity in high school, and we know that Ben like did not talk to Felicity in high school at all, but Ben does make a very good mocha, evidently.
This whole thing is so funny to me. I especially love when Javier's like, okay, tell me, be honest, do I look fat, am I fat? Like, I mean, obviously this doesn't, you know, don't ever, if someone ever asks that, the answer is literally always no. Okay. Right. Like, the answer is always no.
But Ben was like, yeah. Ben was like, yeah, a little bit.
I do like Ben saying, are you trying to lose weight? Cause like, I know some like healthy eating tips and stuff that might help. Like, that I thought was nice. But I love Ben saying like, oh, the key is low carbs. And Javier's like, oh, carbs are my worst enemy. And I love how he knows Julie too. Like, that's how you know Javier is entrenched in the drama. Yeah. When Julie walks in, he's like, Julie's here. And I'm like, oh my God, Javier, you are in too much people's business. You just know everything. Well,
they did spend Thanksgiving together.
Oh, that's fair. I forgot about that. He was at Thanksgiving. That's true. So Ben has like a decent episode, but we should talk about Sean's invention while we're on the topic of Ben, because Sean, first of all, we know that his dispensers, his like vending machines for what are they, instant hospital cameras? What are they called?
Oh yeah, instant. The
throwaway
disposable cameras.
Yeah, are still taking off. Maternity ward, excellent spot to put them. I think
that this is his best business venture by far. I think very impressed by how smart this is.
I agree, yeah.
Now, what does not work for me is this cursed invention of pre-milked cereal.
This is fucking vile. So, this is so disturbing.
It is cereal that is like entrenched in powdered milk, and then all you have to do is add water to it. This reminds me of Tommy, our friend Tommy.
Yes.
His invention was green milk, which is just leftover milk from vile. Terrible invention.
Yeah.
Awful idea. Adding water, it just seemed so disgusting.
Yeah.
And it looked moldy. And I would say that this is on the bottom of the rankings for me.
This is so disgusting, especially because I'm going to admit, Sarah, that when I saw him stirring it for the first time, I thought he was making like macaroni salad. Like, it doesn't look like cereal. Okay. And why do people need their cereal pre-milked? Like,
for convenience.
Okay. But now the problem with it though is like, nowadays they have those like cups where you could keep your cereal and the milk that it goes into like separate until you want to combine them so that your milk doesn't get soggy. which seems like maybe what he was trying to do, but it just is so disgusting. And the fact that like Ben and Felicity couldn't even swallow it to me is like, well, that's like the worst.
Yeah. I mean, it was vile. I would not try this. It just seems disgusting. Yeah. So a big F, like this would not make it to the next round of Shark Tank. That's for sure.
No, definitely not. So that's Sean. He's still working on his inventions. But let's shift gears and talk about Elena and Blair this episode. Because we kind of get a little bit of an ending to all of this, right? Where Blair, because last we saw, Elena saw her friend Tara and Blair together. But, mm-hmm. like, she hadn't said anything to them. Like, she was looking from afar. And... Elena comes in hot this episode, and I was here for it because she's threatened to kick people's ass so many times, and it happened, and I was very excited about it because Blair comes up, and he's like, hey, I left you a bunch of messages. Like, why aren't you talking to me? Me. And she warns him. She's like, get away from me. Like, walk away right now. And he doesn't, and then she punches him in the face, and it was lovely.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think it's kind of – I don't – blame Blair necessarily for like she just basically ignored him, like never was like fuck you, never talking to you again, or like left a note or threw tomatoes at his door or anything. Like she just ghosted him, so mm-hmm. like obviously if he's gonna see her in the halls, he's gonna be like, what the fuck is up, like where did you go? Anyway, so like Elena just like probably could have been like, it's over, like we are not talking, like I know you cheated on me with my best friend and it's done. But in terms of like Blair, like he has like the audacity, like he knows what he did wrong, and honestly, like if he got ghosted, then he probably should have like figured it out. I like don't love the fact that Elena's like throwing punches all over the school, but I mean, I guess
totally like, justified in my opinion here.
He's a dick. He's a dick. And he deserves
it. She's also like under the stress of this test coming up, right? Like obviously Felicity, it's mostly about Felicity and her experiences with like this McGrath exam and all of that. But Elena is also in those classes and also under a lot of pressure to do well here. And so I think like, between all this nonsense with Blair, I think she just wants to like put it behind her. And so she hasn't had time to like call him and be like, it's over. Instead, she's just like, I'm just going to ghost him and maybe he'll get the point of like, I saw you together and mm-hmm. we don't need to even have that conversation.
I mean, like Blair is really just like a waste of her fucking time, to be honest with you, especially when she has like this big test. So that's a really good segue to talk about this testing process in general, because I don't know if I knew that Felicity was still pursuing being a doctor, because I remember that she was meeting with the advisor and the advisor and she was talking about art, and then all this like every single class I've seen Felicity in has been language arts. So I think that I assumed that she was pursuing something in English, but she's fully in this episode says that she is trying to become a doctor, or at least is taking the classes to become a doctor with Elena.
I guess I thought I think I thought I knew that she was still pursuing being a doctor because of the episode finally where she has all these like exams and stuff, and
but the whole time she just talked about poetry, and
that's fair, that's because it was Ben and her had poetry together, right?
Mm-hmm. And so then she was like very knowledgeable with Noel about his literature. I don't think that I knew that Noel was a graphic artist.
Like, that was brand new information for us, definitely.
Yeah, I should have known with the Mac, because like I don't know, you can always just tell. But anyway, so there's this big seminar I think I have this broken down. Usually the seminar happens once a year. There is usually 200 people that apply. Then the top 20 people take get like who aced the test go to an interviewing process. Yes. And then the top 10 of those people get to be in the seminar. And the seminar,
that sounds correct to me. Yes.
Yeah. Oftentimes the seminar gets you published into medical journals. And if you get published into the medical journal, it's very prestigious. And you are very likely to get into your choice of medical school. So right. It is like a very pivotal thing to get into this seminar because it essentially opens up a lot of doors. And then obviously you go to medical school and then you intern and then you get to, oh, like on TikTok, I saw the matching day. You know, the matching day. You've never heard of this before?
Is this where you get matched with the school?
The specialty that you're doing. So our friend Alex, he got matched into radiology, and that's right. How he became a radiologist, and I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so this is like, suffice it to say that this is super super important, and obviously to Elena, but also to Felicity. And I think the thing with Felicity is that I think Felicity is a person who, when she like sets her sights on something, right? She's just like, okay, gonna be a doctor. She just puts her head down and powers through that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Right. Like, she doesn't stop to think, is this something I love and I've dreamed about doing? Like, or is this just what I'm doing? Like, this is the thing that I'm doing. And so she like, right, the whole episode starts with her like holding her breath until like the second hand gets to the 12, which I've never heard of this as like a superstition thing. But she is like really hopeful that she's going to be able to ace this test and get into the seminar and on and on and on. And it isn't until Todd shows up that she starts rethinking things, because it seems to me, Sarah, that since she's been entrenched in life at NYU and in this relationship with Noel and everything else, she really hasn't thought about art a ton. I just think it's been on the back burner for her.
I agree. And I did totally forget that she was an artist.
Same. There's been so much going on, you know, it's hard to remember all of that.
Yeah. So I think it was really interesting throughout, because both Felicity and Elena get to the interview process. They are part of the top 20 of the best scorers. And after having like a conversation with Todd about like, oh, like you need to like get back your childlike whimsy. Like, I feel like you're forgetting something. Like, you're just like becoming a doctor because that's what your parents want you to do. Like, you loved art. Felicity goes to the interview, and basically, like, to be fair for Felicity, like, I feel like she just witnessed somebody literally get hit by a bus. I wish that she would have said to the interviewer, like, I'm not in the best headspace at this moment because of this reason. But she's kind of in this like daze, and she winds up in the interview saying, like, I think I want to become an artist. Because she is connecting to like what she really like, to what Todd said, like she's like resonating with it. And she basically, and then he's like, he dismisses her, which like, I don't blame this guy, because honestly, there are about 199 other people that are very confident that they want to become doctors. And for somebody to be like, I don't know if I want this. All right, like kick it to the curb. And I don't exactly think it's fair that Felicity eventually gets into the seminar, because I still think that there is probably 9 other people that really wanted to be in the seminar and really, really want to be doctors that would have loved the spot. And for somebody to be like a little wishy-washy about what they want, like, he's not saying like, if you're not in the seminar, then you can't major in like medical shit. I think that most doctors are like in a biology major or something like that.
Yeah.
He's not saying like that you can't do that. But no, like, I don't think that you should be in this special seminar that can get you into one of the best medical schools in the country.
Yeah. It's basically because she's the main character, right? That this is still happening for her. Yeah. But it's, and
And if she got in and Elena didn't, I would have burned the whole house down.
Oh, definitely. Elena deserves this more than literally anybody else. But yeah, she has like this moment where she's meeting with Dr. McGrath, Professor McGrath, and she's just very unsure. She's just like, I can't remember why I want to be a doctor, which obviously, like you said, is very much like a, okay, on to the next. Like there are, we have 20 people. I have to choose 10. That's 50%. This is an easy one that I can say, nah, we don't, you know, move on to the next.
Yeah. Basically. I would dismiss her.
Yeah. Quickly. And this is where this was like so jarring for me, these two episodes, because to your point, it's like, because of all the interpersonal drama that's been going on, I kind of had forgotten about like what Felicity was actually majoring in, because also for most people, when you're a freshman, you haven't declared yet anyway. Like you're still new. Like you're undecided at that point. Right. So it hasn't really been something that has been noteworthy for us on the show. And so then to have these two episodes where it felt like, oh my God, okay, now Todd shows up, which we're going to get there. We will talk about Todd. We've mentioned his name a few times. We're going to get into the Todd stuff, but for Todd to show up and suddenly her brain is like going in this art direction. And I was like, oh, okay. Now we're getting the flip of the switch. We're getting the Felicity is not going to do doctor things. She's not going to pursue medicine. Instead, she's going to go pursue art and on and on and on. But then by the end of the second episode, we're back on doctor path because of basically, I guess Todd's life being saved by modern medicine. And so this is what gets Felicity to be like, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot, it's about the people, the secret is it's about the people. And so yeah, she's just like, I saw a doctor save someone's life, and I realized that you know, that's what I want to do. And it all, and again, she, I do like Sarah, I feel like this is very I think this is a little mature of Felicity to say, I like art and I like medicine, I don't have to choose at this moment. Like yeah, I
agree with that.
It's a very mature thought. I think a lot of us don't feel that way, especially at Felicity's age. We think we have to make this decision now and it better be the right one or it could screw up our lives for like ever, which is horrifying. Again, I will say putting that much pressure on people that are barely adults and forcing them to make a decision on quote unquote what they want to do for the rest of their life is like impossible and way too much stress for a person to handle at that age, or any age really. But yeah, it's very fascinating to me that like we start this two-parter with like the prospect of Felicity bouncing back to art. You know, she spends all this time in the art studio, which I don't know if you got any vibes, but I will say when we first get introduced to this rando she meets at the art studio, I was like, oh, are we meeting another love interest? Because I don't know. I just felt like because that.
He was nice and said that she can use art supplies.
And because he's a boy and she is straight.
No, I know. I totally got those vibes too. But like, if you think about it, it's just so silly in that regard. But I think it's really interesting. Like, I think that she's right. Like, I think that she really is correct. And it is something that as a teenager in college, like, it seems so like you have to decide right now, but she's right. Like, she can keep her options open. That's totally fine. But once again, like, what I disagree with is that she probably should not get into this special seminar, but whatever, she's in this seminar, good for her.
She gets in, yeah, basically because of the speech that she gives to the professor of like, yep, I don't have to choose right now, blah, I mean, blah, blah.
No, like, she's right, she's totally right, but also then like let's
choose have someone who knows
exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so let's and yeah, I thought like the art stuff was interesting, and I liked the scenes where she was doing the art, and I like.
Can we also just say? Can we confirm? Because this was something we debated in the pilot episode, I believe, of like they didn't show us the art, and so we were like, "Uh-oh, is she a shitty artist? Like, are we in Joey Potter territory again?" I would like to say, without a doubt, she is a much better artist than Joey Potter.
Wait, but like, did we see anything?
We saw her working on it. We saw her
working on it, but we never saw any finished product.
Didn't we? Did we see when she shows it to when she shows some of her art to Noel? I feel like that's what we saw, right?
I don't think so.
Well, now I'm questioning myself. I watched these episodes like twice and I can't remember. But I do think that like I think she's better than Joey. Joey was not a great artist.
I mean, like, I can give her that, but, like, I swear I did not see any finished product. I saw swirls. I saw swirls. But, so I do think that she has talent. I have something that I would like to throw out.
Okay.
Felicity should be a medical illustrator.
Is this like the books that are in medical, like the drawings in medical books?
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem very fulfilling.
It marries the two so that she can get actually make money, and then she could do whatever swirls that she wants on the side.
I feel like the art she wants to do is a little bit more. And also, the other thing I noticed about Felicity is she's not just one type of artist. Like, she does everything. She paints. She does a lot of different shit.
Yeah, her talents are an inch deep and a mile wide, it sounds like. Which is not
She's working with charcoal. She's working with paint. She's spending all night in that studio.
The median salary for a medical illustrator / animator in the U.S. is $83,000 to $130,000 a year.
Holy shit. All right. So by all means, please, Felicity.
Now, that is not a $300,000 doctor's salary, but she can certainly make that money. And then on the side, like I said, do whatever fucking swirls she wants to do.
Yeah. We really only get glimpses of her drawings when she's like handing them to Noel, but I still think they looked better than Joey Potter's.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, it's time. We have to talk about Todd Mulcahy, because obviously he is like, his name is the title of both episodes. He is a big figure in both of these episodes for many of the characters, surprisingly enough, and kind of really jarring Felicity into questioning what her major should be and also giving her a taste of her own medicine. So for the background, Todd was someone that Felicity went to summer school with when he was 14 and she was 12. They had a little bit of a tryst, I guess, but they didn't even kiss. But Todd says
12 years old. Remember all of this and all of this. He was 12 years old. When you're 12 years old, that is literally seventh grade.
Yeah. And this man, this adult man, this probably 20-ish year old man decided that, well, Felicity and I bumped into each other over holiday break and I need to pursue it. So I'm going to fly to New York, show up at her dorm room like a fucking weirdo and just be like, hey, where's Felicity? I'm going to kiss her.
How do you get her like exact address?
Definitely. Like, it's one of those things where it's like his parents know her parents or something.
That makes sense.
Not only is he showing up there, but he's like telling everyone, oh, I'm here to kiss Felicity. He helps Megan pierce her nose.
Done very poorly. Okay, hold on. This guy is played by Steve Barra, who was married to Juliette Lewis for...
No kidding.
Like, yeah, for 4 years. Wow. But he is also a professional skateboarder. And apparently he
looks like a professional skateboarder.
You think so?
And maybe it's the floppy hair. But I definitely think he looks like one.
He lived with Tony Hawk.
What in the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is wild. Okay. Yeah.
He is. He's a Scientologist.
Oh no, that's it. Ding, ding, ding. We found it.
That's what it has. That's what he is. Claims to have never drunk alcohol, smoked cigarettes, or taken any other recreational drug.
Well, wow.
Good for you, Todd Mulcahy.
Good for you. So he shows up and he runs into Megan, helps her pierce her nose. Then he meets Noel because Noel is constantly in Felicity's freaking dorm room. And he's just like, oh, I came here to kiss her. And it's just like, what? And he basically, his justification is, well, we got really close to kissing once. And what if she's basically the one that got away? Yeah. And the problem is, Sarah, is that normally in polite, you know, modern society, you need someone else's permission to kiss them, Todd.
you would think. Yeah. Felicity to him is the what if, like, what if we had worked out? And I think that is a little bit hard to live your life always having a what if. Thankfully, I don't have that, but I'm sure it would be very hard to live with yourself. And we learn eventually that he's engaged. And I guess before he can officially commit to his fiance, he needs to pursue Felicity.
When I found out he was engaged, Sarah, I already hated this man.
Yeah.
Because I was like, sir, you don't own Felicity. Stop stalking her. Leave her alone. She has shit to do. Then I found out he was engaged. And I was like, what is this woman doing with this man?
She loves him and she loves his eclecticness. I was pretty much like, yeah, let's like throw the whole man out, this fucker. But basically she knew that he was going to New York for Felicity. And basically she did the whole, well, you know, you got to set him free. And if he doesn't come back, then he was never yours sort of thing.
So she fucking like, set him free for good. Like this pissed me off so much because like all the shit that we see Todd do for Felicity to pursue her, right? Like first he obviously just shows up. Then he like goes to the place of her employment and is like, listen, we're going to kiss. He threatens her basically. He's like, I'm not leaving town until we fucking kiss, bitch. And then he gets her, which was very sweet. He gets her this little like license plate thing with her name on it because of like an inside joke of when they were kids, she would always look and they never had her name because Felicity's not a common name. And he had it basically made on Etsy before Etsy existed for her. But he's being a big old fucking creep. He then leaves her this giant box of like stuff you liked when you were 12, which I have news for you, Todd. Yeah. She's not fucking 12 anymore.
No, she's not 12 anymore. But he did get her balloons, which I love balloons.
How do you feel about Malamars?
Like the thing with Malamars is that like they're good until you have two. Like
that's fair. Yeah, it's less is more. With
yeah, the first one is great, and then the more you eat of them, the worse they are. Like, I mean, I think that this is like all of these things are sweet if she wasn't in a relationship and she already told him like no, thank you.
Yeah, she already said please leave, and he's just like, I've come to New York to get that kiss, which is very menacing of someone to say to you.
It's pretty and, menacing
like, it also I think I would have like I feel like I would have been Felicity up to the point where this man is standing outside of the door when I'm taking the most important test of my college career thus far.
Yeah.
And he's just like holding up signs. Cause like, what if the professor sees and thinks you're cheating? Like, I'm just saying like this kid will not take a hint. He basically has her under duress to say yes, to go on this like date with him. And it's just, it's truly awful. And somehow, Sarah, he not only swindles Felicity into like going on this get together with him to have a chat, but he like gets everyone on his side.
Yeah. I guess he's like a master manipulator because like everybody at first is like, Tom McCleary. But the more, so we have, he fixed Noel's computer so that Noel can use Photoshop on his computer. So
how do we feel about Noel being a web design major, graphic design major?
He's a graphic design major. I mean, like, I'm fine with it. Like, I think
this makes sense to me.
Yeah, I feel nothing towards it.
Okay.
Which is good. That's a good reaction, kind of. Mm-hmm. So at first, like, of course, Noel's threatened because Noel's always threatened. But he essentially he fixes Noel's computer and then they become buddies. Then Felicity asks Ben to like Ben offers to like basically tell him to that he'll take care of it. But turns out that they're all like old skating buddies.
Yeah, he just didn't know his last name because they were little kids. Which, can I just say, the scene between Ben and Felicity, where she like admits, like, yeah, I stalked you. I need to know what it was like to be the one who's being stalked, like, was one of my favorites of both episodes because I love when she's like, well, I'm in a predicament again. He's like, who are you stalking now?
Yeah, that was so funny. That was so funny. Ben, like, did that line very, very well. And then I love how Sean had the follow-up was like, wait, you're being stalked or are you the stalker? Like,
yeah, it was,
I thought that was very good, talking about meta, as you mentioned earlier, really good. But I love the fact that, like, I mean, he was buddies with Todd, and then like he invites Todd over, and then Sean and Julie really like him because apparently Todd makes like the best chicken ever.
Makes such good chicken.
Such good chicken. That was such good chicken. And I forget, does Todd have a run-in with Elena as well, where he was like, oh, that's like, he was a nice guy.
I don't think so. I don't recall them meeting.
Well, yeah, he really gets everybody on his side eventually. Because...
except Megan, because her nose is infected.
Yeah, because Megan forced him to help her pierce her nose.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody, it kind of becomes this, like, kind of funny thing where, like, Felicity is like, I can't stand this guy. Why is everybody, like, so obsessed with him? So she eventually agrees to go on this date with him after Noel gives the okay. And she goes on the date and he shoots his shot for the billionth time. And she says, thank you, but no, I don't have the mental capacity for this. I have a lot going on. And I really, really like Noel. Thank you, but no. And then again, he tries to kiss her outside and she's like, thank you, but no, I do not want this. And please,
call the police on this man. I know. Please, somebody.
And he like starts getting like a little aggro because he's like, you're just like living your life. Like, you're doing what your parents want. You're becoming a doctor. I know that you want to become an artist. And she's like, you don't know me. Like, you haven't, it's been 7 years since we spent any time together. You don't know me at all. And he's like, basically saying, like, proclaiming, like, you, like, I might have lost the battle, but I'm going to win the war. Like, eventually you're going to kiss me. I know it in my bones. And then he gets hit by a motherfucking bus. And I was like, what the heck?
I know. I didn't, until he stepped off the sidewalk backwards, I wasn't expecting there to be, like, a bus incident. Once he stepped off backwards, I was like, oh, shit, this guy's about to get hit by a bus. But before that, I certainly didn't think that this two-parter was going to end with this man getting pummeled by a bus. And I was like, oh, shit, is he dead? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I was very, very surprised by him getting hit by the bus.
Yeah, he gets hit. I mean, honestly, justified, right? Like, stop stalking this woman. Leave her alone. Like, please, she doesn't want to kiss you, okay? Yeah.
You would think that, like, the bus would be the sign for him to let go. But, like, eventually when he wakes up, like, thank goodness, I guess, this dickbag still wants her to kiss him.
He didn't learn anything. He didn't learn his fucking lesson. Listen, if Felicity's karma for stalking Ben is Todd being in her life, then Todd's karma for stalking Felicity is getting hit by a bus. And yet he learned fucking nothing. In fact, he's like, oh, as he's like, might fucking die. And this is Sarah, where I was like aghast that this his fiance ends up like staying with her, whatever. But like, the last thing he does before he could possibly die, as he's going, like, the EMTs are taking him, rushing him through the hospital, he says to Felicity, oh, my left pocket in my jeans. Because he wants to give her this note that she wrote to him when she was like 12. Instead of being like, call my fiance, tell her I love her.
I know. No, okay. So this is the thing. Like, I feel like I would feel like Todd is a smidge more justified if they went to camp like when they were 16 years old. And this was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
The fact that they were 12 years old makes this so creepy.
It does. does. I'm sorry, but like you, a person can change in like a year, especially when that year is from going to high school to college. But yeah. 7 years, 7 years between the ages of 12 and 19 are pivotal. They are certainly, you are certainly going to be a different person after those 7 years have passed. And yeah. so it's insane to me that he is still so adamant about like, he knows Felicity and nobody possibly could know her better. But like, this gets into Felicity's head because she reads the note that she wrote him and she starts like digging into the little care package, right, that she sent him, and she's watching Dead Poets Society, and Noel is getting, I mean, let's face it, Noel, who liked Todd 5 seconds ago, is now in a bit of a tizzy about this because he's a little jealous baby and he can't handle that she's eating his Malamars.
That's the perfect analysis for Noel. He just gets in little tizzies.
Yeah, he's always in a tizzy about something. And oh my God, we have to talk about, don't let me forget to talk about Richard because I have shit to say. But Noel is like very bothered by this. And I find it interesting, Sarah, that Noel didn't know anything about Felicity's interest in art. Knowing that they're now dating, like, I just feel like that's something that comes up in conversation. You know what I mean?
You would think so, unless like Felicity is so disconnected from her passion of art that she just doesn't even think about it. But gosh, like, I just feel as though he should probably at least know that, especially because like if he has graphic design and like if that's his passion, then you would think that it would get brought up. Yeah. Ever once.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's something they could connect over, right? So it's really weird that, yeah, that they're not, that he's not aware of any of this, but she's having like a crisis because she's now wondering like, oh my God, is Todd right about me? Like, should I pursue art? She's really tempted. You know, she doesn't really know which way to go. She ends up spending all night in the art studio, blows off Noel, forgets they have a date, which to be fair, okay, that's fair for Noel to be upset about that, you know, to be like wondering where the hell she is and why yeah. she blew him off. That's fair.
I mean, she's usually very good at communication. Like, I'm thinking back to finally where she told him like, oh, like I'm leaving this message. I'm going to go help Ben. I will be at this location. Like, typically she's very good at communication. So if I was Noel, then I would be concerned about like where my girl's at, especially if they were supposed to have a date.
Exactly. And so after Todd ends up in the hospital, Felicity visits him. She brings him some stuff that he liked when he was 14. And he still won't give it up. He says like, come on, we'll know immediately. It'll be electric. It'll bridge time between us, or it'll be nothing. And so she actually gives him a kiss, which I was like, I'm like, girl, stop. You don't need to do this. Just because he's injured, you can leave. He can't catch you now. You know, like he can't run. But as she gives him the kiss of death because he like almost fucking dies.
Well, yeah. When he starts blanking out or whatever, I was like, are you kidding me?
I thought he was going to die and I was going to be so happy.
I was pretty shocked that she kissed him and his heart rate goes like off the wazoo, and I don't know what happened. I guess he like was, I don't know. I don't
they
know.
They said
he's
bleeding out, like he maybe had an internal injuries or something. Yeah. So they wheel him away, and then we're introduced to his fucking fiance, who it's like, also she was in some Disney Channel original movie, I think. Like, she looks so familiar to me.
Oh, really? I don't know. I didn't recognize her.
Yeah, but but the weirdest thing is that like Rebecca, who's his fiance, knows Felicity because she's just like, you know, I really love him. He's a little eccentric, but you won't find a bigger heart. And it's like, you mean he's crazy, okay, Rebecca? Like, I know we judged Felicity so hard, and I still do, because let's face it, she didn't just visit like Todd's doing. She full-on fucking moved. She full-on made different college plans to stalk somebody, okay? But she also didn't go up to this guy and repeatedly say, you're going to kiss me or else, you know?
Like, no, but she did, like, change his paper for him. Oh, she did, God, like, yeah. Show up at his house a billion times. She yelled at him when he didn't go go forward with like the Halloween, the couple's Halloween costume. She yelled at him when he hooked up with somebody else. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, she was bad. Like, she was really
she
bad.
She was really bad. Yeah.
She did not say, like, you know, like, you're going to kiss me right now. But also, she was, like, she was assertive in her own way.
Yeah. And, but this woman is just like, oh, I told him to, like, you know, go off and then whatever, whatever. And then, so then we get like that, and this is must be the moment where it clicks in Felicity's head, because she sees like Rebecca getting the news that Todd's going to be okay, that he like made it through surgery, or at least he's stable for right now. And Rebecca's crying and hugging the doctor.
Okay.
He gives Felicity a thumbs up.
Yeah. Such a happy moment. I'm so happy for Rebecca. That fucking doctor was too intimate with his rubs. He was like one little movement away from grabbing ass. I swear to God.
So funny. I don't recall this, but I fully believe you. I remember him being like very stiff at first when she goes to like hug him. I don't recall that.
He was getting hard by hugging her.
Oh no.
I'm serious. Brutal. I was like, get off of her.
Yeah.
So she remembers that medicine is about the people. She wants to save lives. She goes back to Dr. McGrath, excuse me, that was very rude of me. This is Dr. McGrath. I remember why I want to do medicine is because of the people, which I didn't really feel like that was like, she's like, medicine is about people. And he was like, okay, cool. Like, cool story.
And I don't know that it was portrayed. I don't know. I didn't feel like the scene with Felicity seeing Rebecca get the good news was enough for me to be like, oh, this totally makes sense that she's had a change of heart. Like, I guess, but it didn't seem like that big of a deal. Okay, I'm watching the doctor now hug Rebecca. She definitely leaps on him first. And I don't think his...
It keeps not touching good. Her butt. Does no, it? But he's like rubbing her back like very intimately. It goes on for too long, in my opinion.
I don't know. He's doing a couple paths. I guess. Now we're getting into the too long territory. So this is what makes Felicity change her mind. And then we see like Todd and Rebecca getting in this like handicap van or whatever, handicap accessible van. So that he can leave. And it's just like, why are we still entertaining this? Like, why is Rebecca still with this man? I don't understand.
She loves
this
Jessica. She Ugh. Loves him. So basically,
and he says, you know, that kiss was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean,
sir,
I know. I wouldn't I really be happy can't. If it was me. I wouldn't be happy if it was me, but
so upsetting.
And I love that Felicity was like, you have to go home now. Bye.
Yeah, please leave now. It's time. And now you can't say no because you're in a wheelchair and your fiance is bringing you home. thank God. Get him presence. Out of here.
Yeah.
Todd freaking Mulcahy. When I read the title of the episode, I didn't think that I would hate this man this much, but here we are. Now, the one last thing we need to talk about before we wrap things up is the Richard and Noel storyline, because this is my new favorite thing, okay? This is my new favorite thing, that Richard and Noel are always at odds with each other. And, like, we have the one-sided rivalry of, like, Noel hating Ben, which is continuing this episode when he finds out Ben is working at Dean and DeLuca. He's like, ugh, I hate Todd. Todd got him that job. Ugh, I hate him. But I love this one-sided rivalry, or this both-sided rivalry, whatever, this rivalry between Richard and Noel, where Richard has now decided he wants to install a satellite dish. And he says, well, Noel, you're the worst RA ever, and you're like sleeping with one of your advisees, and if you don't allow me to get this satellite dish, which you're supposed to like petition the board to get or something, then I'm gonna report you and you're the worst. And when Noel is like, I literally can't do anything, like my hands are tied, I don't know what you expect from me, This man who we've said has no regard for fire safety, decides to weld in his dorm room.
I feel like it's fine.
I just
Do you know how much money welders make? They are rich bitches.
Well, then why is he should be at a trade school then. Why is he here? Why is he at NYU? Like, I don't even care about Noel. Noel annoys me 90% of the time. But this is insanity where he's fucking welding. And then on top of that, he decides he's going to be a, like, hand model representative.
Yeah. This is phenomenal. I love that he wants to be a hand modeling agent now.
And all the women with the white gloves really did kill me. I'm not gonna lie.
Now, are you just upset because you don't think that you can be a hand model?
Oh, no. You could certainly be a hand model.
Let me see your hands.
My hands are not for modeling.
Oh, they're ugly. No,
I know. They really are terrible. You don't want my hands to be modeled.
Maybe I want to be a hand model.
You probably could. Yeah. Your nails are really nice. So I think you probably could.
Now I have, you know, like when you write, some people get the like bump. A little bump. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that prevents me from being a hand model.
Brutal.
I can only do my left hand, but
that might be okay though.
My right hand is so much better.
Oh.
In terms of the talents that I can do.
Yeah.
Oh. Like.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know where you're going. but I love that Noel tries to, like, bust up this operation. And then I love the scene where Felicity and Noel are, like, having a quote-unquote argument. And we see Richard, like, with the flyer up and down, because he can't decide if they're breaking up or not.
Mm-hmm.
That did crack me up. I know people love Richard. I still think he's the biggest fucking idiot in the entire planet. However, I love the rivalry between him and Noel.
He makes you laugh.
Well, he's an idiot. A lot of idiots make me laugh.
Yeah. I have, you know, it is, like, true that, like, a lot of schools have policies that you can't run businesses out from your dorm room.
Yeah.
Because Adam got into academic probation for having a business out of his dorm room.
What business?
I'm trying to remember, but his mom told me about it.
That is hilarious and makes a lot of sense, honestly. The tracks.
Yeah. and then, like, he also got in trouble because he had too many parking tickets.
Jesus Christ. and that's pretty much our two-part episode. Those two episodes were honestly such a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And really fun. I think I enjoyed pretty much every storyline to varying degrees. Like, I'm happy Elena's no longer with Blair. I think she deserves so much better. I'm happy she's getting what she wants and getting in that seminar. Felicity's keeping her options open between art and medical school so she can kind of do what she wants. We still have the lingering thread of who Julie's mom is, but I'm sure that's, like, we're going to get to that eventually.
Yeah. I really like these two episodes as well. And I'm enjoying the watching Felicity now. Like, I think at first it was like a little bit of like a growing pain. I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like she's very likable. I mean, I think that she is a pill, like a lot of 18-year-olds are pills.
Right. And I think I like her more now that we've seen the comeuppance. You know, we've seen her have to deal with what the fuck she did to someone.
Yeah. I also like how we forgot to mention, like, Felicity was like, no matter what happens with your mom, like, if it's good or bad, I'm here for you. Just let me know. I'm like a call away. Like, she's being supportive, and that's really good. And her and Elena are in a really good spot. Like, she has like a really good group of friends forming, and I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, definitely. Should we get into some feedback that we got this week about Felicity?
Yeah.
Let's hear what Temi had to say.
Ready, set, go. Some say that they saw our heads go all the way around. Some say they swear they saw me push her in front of the bus. Some say LL was totally hot at this time. Listen to Over by Lindsay. You have Since You've Been Gone and then Over. I think it's a nice 1-2 punch of songs from this time. You're welcome. Speaking of punches, Elena did not issue empty threats. Dawson, you make me so happy that I have to.
to make myself happy first. And that's the one thing you can't do for me.
When Noel calls Felicity's art crazy, and then she comes back and says that he can't solve all of her problems. That's Joey and Felicity and Art sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. These episodes, two episodes, are a really nice platform for story arcs, big and small, coming forward. I think it makes sense that J.J. Abrams wrote and directed. I think at least the second episode I saw is credit. So, I mean, really big thing to monitor. I used One Tree Hill as a barometer for how many characters end up in a hospital on a show. I'm pretty sure nearly every character in that show was in the hospital, maybe not Luke's mom, and maybe some of the late season characters. But so far in Felicity, we've had a robbery and a person hit by a bus. And I'm going to watch Speed for the first time, get some Keanu and Sandra Bullock action.
Oh, thanks. Speed. Temi brought up a scene that we didn't talk about that I think that we should, because Noel basically brings up about the art, and it basically, like, he's trying to fix her shit instead of just listen to her problems, and she, like, says, like, you can't fix all my problems, Noel, and Noel certainly wants to. Do we have any thoughts about this scene?
Mostly that I think this is going to be a sign of things to come, where I think Noel is going to want to be Mr. Fix-It and play Mr. Fix-It. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's not always his place to do that. I think that's probably going to happen. Not, I don't want to say often, but I think it's going to be a running theme with Noel, is my guess. What about you?
I just feel like he is not supportive all the time of her, which is a little alarming. A
little bit of a red flag, yeah. Well, we'll put a pin in that. And let's see what DBK has to say about these two episodes.
What up, though, ladies? Okay, a lot going on in these two episodes. A lot happened. So, we got Ben now works at Dean and DeLuca. What do we think of this? Like, Ben asked Felicity to get him a job there. Like,
love
it. Kind of weird, right? Julie is working, or was working, at her mom's law firm and sent her the tape, and then finds out, even though she plays guitar and all this stuff, that that's not her mom. We get, underrated, I got, well, I mean, watch out for in the future, whatever, enjoy Ben and Javier together.
Yes.
Underrated goodness. Super funny stuff throughout the show. So, be on the lookout for that. We get Felicity becoming the hunted by Todd McCauley, showing up to kiss her. Funny stuff. Everyone loves Todd except for maybe Megan, because he gives her the, like, nose infection. We get Elena and Felicity getting into McGrath, or at least being top 20 students in for McGrath seminar, and getting into McGrath seminar. Somehow Felicity pulls it off. Who knows how she does it? Because, like, wild that she says she wants to be an artist in the thing. Peter McGrath is, like, some Sarah Dawn guy. I recognize him from Princess Bride, Princess Humperdinck, but apparently it's Jack Skellington from A Nightmare Before Christmas, for people that like that kind of thing. And then showing up at the very end, or the art student guy, is Simon Rex. He's in the Scary Movies. That's what I, like, know him from. But also, I know him as rapper Dirt Nasty. Anyways, till next week, ladies.
Dirt Nasty. A
rapper named Dirt Nasty.
Dirt Nasty. Who are you?
Why is that the most notable thing? Dirt Nasty.
Dirt Nasty.
Yeah, I watched the Scary Movies a lot when I was a kid. So that, I definitely, now that you said that, it stands out to me. I can't wait to see more of Javier and Ben together, honestly, because I really thought that scene was very funny between them. So,
do you think it's suspicious that Ben wants to work at Dean and DeLuca with Felicity?
I think he just wants a job and knows that she works there and has an in. Okay. I don't think he likes her. No.
Yeah. Okay. I agree.
See with Julie. Yeah, those are our two episodes. Just a heads up, we are recording early this week.
Very, very early.
So the only way you're going to be able to get feedback in is if you're listening to this on the day we release it on the 12th. You still have time if you're listening to it in the morning. We don't record until the evening. So send in your feedback, shitnineiespod@gmail.com, shitnineiespod.com, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
We also have to give out a winner this episode. Sarah, any idea on who should be the winner of this episode? Or I guess episodes.
I'm sorry. The only thing that I had name I want to give is Dirt Nasty.
give the point to Dirt Nasty. No, we're not doing that. Do we want to? Last time we separated out the points. How do you want to do this? Do you want to separate them out again? So give one for a part one and one for part two.
Yeah, that's fine.
Give out 2 points.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to give Elena a point for punching Blair because she threatened to kick some ass and she did kick some ass.
I hate violence, though.
He deserved it, though.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. Yeah. I mean, sure. I don't care.
Okay. Who do we want to give the point to in Todd Mulcahy part two? It's a tough one.
Everyone's a loser.
I mean, I don't know. Ben got a job and he had a fun time with Javier. We can
was
give
that
Javier
in episode
a point.
One or episode two?
I don't know. Does it matter?
Yeah, give it to Ben.
Give it to Ben. Good old Ben. He has a job. He gets a point and he rejects the terrible cereal idea. So
yeah.
Easy enough.
I think that was episode one.
Well, then
can
Elena.
You switch it? Because yeah. I'm happy that Elena got in her own merit.
Oh, then yeah, let's do that.
On episode
okay, so,
two.
Okay, so Ben gets for part one.
And she didn't, two. Like, talk to Blair in episode two. So, like, I'm glad that she, like, got rid of him.
She's moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, and then would you like to hear the episode title for next week's episode?
Yeah.
Love and Marriage.
Love and Marriage.
So...
yeah,
who's getting married?
That's perfect for Valentine's Day.
Wow, look at us.
What are you doing so for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing, probably.
You hate love and you're barely and you're married. How dare you?
These are all true statements. What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
Well, this weekend we're going to Indiana. And I'm going to go get my hair done and
exciting.
We're going to go to a IU basketball game. So we got a weekend of plans. That's why we have to record early this week.
Exciting. Yeah. So don't forget to send in your feedback. Of course, we also have Buffy Thursdays. We're releasing new podcasts about Buffy the Vampire Slayer every Thursday. And it is rom-com feb, frisky feb, whatever suits your fancy. We released the Wedding Singer podcast with our guest MJC. And coming up, we're going to be covering Never Been Kissed for the month of Drew Barrymore love, I guess. Anything else, Sarah, you have to say about this before we wrap things up today?
No, but thank you for everybody to listen.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back very soon with Love and Marriage. So stay tuned. Have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.